Thank you, Brother Alvin, and thank you for your prayers and your smiles. It helps when you're up here to know that somebody's with you and praying for you and cares about what's going on here. My sermon today was born out of a devotional that I gave to the young people at the lock-in, and it also then became my Spanish sermon for a week ago. So for the young people that heard it at the lock-in, there have been some additions and improvements, and for those of you who heard it in Spanish, hopefully it'll be more understandable in English. My major scripture reading for today comes out of 2 Chronicles. And of course we know that Chronicles is a retelling of the stories of the kings of Israel and Judah that are also told in 1 and 2 Kings. And the people of the Lord, the descendants of Jacob, were divided into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. And for the most part, the kings of Israel did not walk in the way of the Lord, and the kings of Judah about half the time did and about half the time didn't. So there was a lot of rebellion against what the Lord would have the people to do. And I would like to read in the 25th chapter of 2 Chronicles about one of those kings, and his name was Amaziah. 25th chapter of 2 Chronicles, beginning at the first verse. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And we will notice throughout Kings and Chronicles that frequently these men were very young. Some of them not even in their teens yet when they became king. And the reason was that the previous king, who would have been the father of the new king, died a premature death, either because the Lord struck him dead or because the people rebelled against him and slaughtered him. There were not a lot of long-lived kings back then, so you had a lot of very young men who ended up being king. And Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And this is a good thing. But let's read the rest of the verse. But not with a perfect heart. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. This is what I'd like to talk about today. I'd like to talk about that perfect heart and what that means and what we can do to achieve that in our own lives. Let's look at what the Lord expected of Amaziah and what he expects of us in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we'll find almost exactly the same words in Matthew. But let's read it in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, because this is what Amaziah knew, or at least was supposed to know. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is a complete package. This is giving your all, giving everything in your service to the Lord. With all your heart, with a perfect heart, with a heart that is completely converted to the Lord. With all your heart. And with all your soul. and with all your might. So it starts with attitude. Our heart is where our attitudes live. With all your soul, with all the strength that the Lord gives you, and with all your might, all the physical strength that you can muster up yourself. So it's a complete package. And this was what was expected of Amaziah. But his heart wasn't really in it. And it shows later in this chapter when he went off to do one of the things that kings did a lot in those days was to go to battle. And he fought against the Edomites, who were not believers in God. And he went out to battle against them, and the Lord was with him because he consulted one of the prophets first, and the prophet said, "The Lord is with you." So he went, and he went to battle against the Edomites, and he slaughtered them, and he put them down. The Lord was with him. But let's look at verse 14, see what happened here. We're back in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Verse 14, "Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them." He brought back the idols of the Edomites and bowed down to them and worshiped them. Right after he'd seen this great miracle of going out against these people, knowing that the Lord was with him, and the Lord laid open the way, and the Lord slaughtered the people, and then he brought home their idols, and he worshiped them. He wasn't battling with a perfect heart. Continued on verse 15, "Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, a man of God, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Why in the world, Amaziah, would you bring home all these idols?" The idols didn't protect the people you went to battle. Why do you think they're going to do you any good? It doesn't even make any sense. But he was overcome. He was overcome with evil. He was overcome with a desire to do something contrary to the Lord's will. He saw their idols. They were probably beautiful. Gold and silver and stone and wood and probably very beautifully fashioned. They were beautiful to his eyes. And he said, "I want those. This is the spoils of war. I'm entitled to these things. I want these things. I want them so badly that I'm going to take them home. And I'm going to set them up in my house. And they are going to be something precious to me in my life." So maybe it's not so strange when we look at it. Maybe it's not so strange when we think about maybe something that we do in our own lives, where we have a desire for something that's so strong that we become overcome. And we put that desire for whatever those things are, or whatever it is in our life, whether it's things or whether it's situations or whether it's jobs or whatever it is. If we elevate the importance of that above the importance of saving our own souls, then we've done the same thing that Amaziah did. Oh, we serve the Lord. Oh, yeah, we're all here. We're serving the Lord. But maybe I can't wait for this service to be over. I'm talking about myself now. So I've got all kinds of things going on in my life. There are all kinds of things I need to be doing. Things are important. And I'm serious. I'm pointing the finger at myself here. Another 37, 38 minutes, this is going to be over and done with, and I can get out of here, I can beat it out of here, and I can go do what I want to do. And I'm just up here kind of treading water with my books, you know, and just kind of biding my time until the service is over. Am I serving the Lord with a perfect heart? I don't think so. Did I bring the idols of my life with me, and I've kind of got them here in my pocket? Just kind of waiting. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah because he was overcome by idols. When we talk about this perfect heart, we're talking about attitude. We're talking about what's my mindset about what's going on in my life and the things that are important in my life and how I go about achieving the things that I think are important in my life and how I deal with other people in order to accomplish the things that I think are important in my life. And how I make sure that I get the things and the possessions that I want or need, think I need, in my life. Possessions, things, jobs, positions, friendships, in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with these things. It's our attitude. It's how I go about achieving these things. That's what the Lord's looking at. If Amaziah's heart would have been right, he'd have seen all of these idols and stuff of the Edomites, and he'd have said, well, looky there, here's this gold thing and here's this silver thing. I can take those back to Jerusalem and I can melt those down and I can make all the basins and all the things that they use in the temple. And we see that over and over in the scriptures, that they did that. He said, here's some raw materials that we can use. We can use these things to serve the Lord. But that wasn't where he went with it. He said, I want the things. I want the idols. He wasn't serving with a perfect heart. Let's look in Matthew. Let's think about this perfect heart, this attitude situation in the 12th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 12, beginning at verse 37. Doesn't look right. Because it's not right. It's chapter 22. I'm sorry. No. See, I've got scriptures written down here, and I don't necessarily have them indicated as just exactly what it is I want to talk about. It is the 12th chapter, and it's verse 35. I'm sorry. And we're talking about the heart, and we're talking about how we allow our attitudes to accomplish things. Matthew 12, 35. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. A good man, a man who is functioning with a perfect heart. We've heard somebody say, well, his heart's in the right place. A person who's functioning with that perfect heart. Out of the treasure, out of the storehouse, out of the collection of thoughts attitudes and ideas that he's collected in that heart. Out of the treasure of those things comes forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. If Amaziah's heart had been in the right place, if his attitudes about these idols had been correct, he wouldn't have done what he did. He would have done something else. He would have done something good. This is the concept that is the thread that goes all through the Sermon on the Mount. That the old law was the law of action and consequence. But he's saying there's a new law. There's a better law. There's a law that steps back from the action and says, before you even get to killing somebody, don't be angry with them. Not only should we not kill, but let's take a step back from it and let's look at the attitude that causes us to kill. And that attitude is anger. Deal with the attitude. The action won't follow. Chapter or two forward in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out with a drop? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, where do they come from? From the heart. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Now, he was dealing with all the dietary laws and restrictions that the Jews followed. And he's using this analogy and saying, you all are so caught up in what's going into your mouth that you're not paying any attention to what's coming out of your mouth. What is it that gets us in more trouble than just about anything else? That evil tongue, that evil member, you bet. And how easy is it to suck those words back into your mouth? You know, they've only gotten this far, and you think, oh, I just want to get them back. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's not what goes into the mouth, it's those things that proceed out of the mouth that come forth from the heart. When we say, oh, I said that without thinking. Well, you're not thinking. You're functioning on that treasure trove, that storehouse of attitudes that's living inside your brain. Oh, I said that without thinking. Well, if you weren't thinking, then that's what's living up there. That's what just naturally comes out. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Might make us sick. But it won't defile the soul. So, how about a few suggestions? Sugerencias. One of my favorite words in Spanish, sugerencia, means suggestion. Let's look at some things that we can do that we can put it into action. Because we've got to deal with this somehow. It's not just going to automatically happen. I'm just going to decide I'm going to have better attitudes. We can decide that, but that doesn't make it happen. We need some action. We need some ideas, some sugerencias. Let's turn to Romans 12, one of my favorites, because it gets right to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. If an attitude is going to change, if a heart is going to change, it requires a conscious effort. And it requires a conscious effort that we're not necessarily able on our own to accomplish. It requires a change, a transformation that says, I'm going to get rid of my attitudes and I'm going to allow the Lord to work on my heart. I'm going to allow the Lord to make my heart perfect. Because on our own, we're unable. We don't have the capability to perfect anything. It's only when you allow that perfect thing, that perfectness of God to enter your heart, that it can be accomplished. But it requires some effort on our parts. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 2. First suggestion, be not conformed to this world. That's a conscious action that we can take to perfect our hearts. We have an example that we can look at. It's all around us. We have no trouble seeing it, hearing it, understanding it. It's the world, and it's everywhere. And you know, it's like the kids say, well, all the kids are doing it. Well, that should be your first clue. If all the kids are doing it, it's probably not any good. Be not conformed to this world. If all the entertainment, if all of the media, if all of the music says, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, buy this, buy this, buy this, chances are pretty good you shouldn't be doing it, you shouldn't be buying it, you shouldn't be owning it. Be not conformed to this world. Okay? If there was a period there, we'd just be kind of sitting here twiddling our thumbs and saying, okay, well, what should I do? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Something's got to happen. Nature abhors a vacuum. You take everything out, something's gonna get sucked in there. And what we have to do is we have to make that transformation, that metamorphosis of shoving out the worldly and replacing it with the godly. And man, do we have a fantastic tool for doing that. It's called baptism. We have that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to take the whole ball of wax, everything I've done in my entire life, and toss it in the trash heap. It's all gone. And I can start from that point with a perfect heart. That's real. That's reality. That's something that we can grab onto and we can say, that's there. I can transform my life. I can undergo metamorphosis. Like that little ugly worm that climbs into a cocoon, comes out a beautiful butterfly. It's transformed. And the Greek word is Metamorphosis, a change. We can be changed. It's a gift. And it's there and it's just sitting there waiting. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you can, by proof, you can, it can be tested. You can see it. You can actually see it happen. It's real. You can test it and you can say, yes, this works. You can prove, you can find out, you can understand what is God's perfect will for you in your life. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? He says, first, I want you to not be conformed to this world. And second, I want you to have a perfect heart. I want you to have attitudes and understandings that are based on the words that I've given you. There's no mystery here. He says, I've told you what to do. I told you all the way back here in Deuteronomy. Love me with everything. Love me with all you've got. Give it your all. It's nothing new. Accomplish, seek and accomplish the Lord's will in your life. It's pretty easy to put our lives on autopilot. Everything's going pretty smoothly. But am I doing what the Lord wants me to do? I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't have some kind of special talent. We may not all have the same talent. We don't all have the same talent. I know that for a fact. I can barely draw a straight line. And other people, you know, art is just the most amazing thing. I just don't see how they do it. You people that are good with a pencil or a brush or a pen, it just astounds me. How can you put something down on paper and it's real and it's beautiful and it brings glory to the Lord? That's a gift. That's a talent. Some people are good at writing. Some people are good at music. Some people are good at visiting the elderly. Some people are good at teaching. Some people are good at managing money. We don't all have the same talents, but we all have a talent. And if you have a talent, then there is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you in your life. With every privilege, there is a responsibility. With every gift, there is a responsibility. If the Lord has given you a gift, the Lord has given me a gift, then I've got a responsibility to see how I can use it for Him. Because that's how we show Him that we love Him. That's how we show that we're grateful for what He's given us, is that we give it back to Him. So, suherencia, number one, is be converted. Be truly converted to God's will. Be transformed. Get rid of the world. Take upon you the name of Christ. Be His ambassador. Use your talent. Number two, also in Romans 12, verse 21. Here's where poor old Amaziah fell down. He was overcome by the evil of the idols of the Edomites. He just couldn't bear it. He had to have them. He was overcome. But we have a remedy for it. in verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil. Don't let the evil overtake you. We usually see it coming. Undoubtedly, Amaziah saw it coming. Yeah, he may have been thinking about those things before he ever left Jerusalem. He could have been thinking, man, when we wipe these folks out, we're going to bring home a bunch of neat stuff. Before I ever turn on the television, I could be thinking, there's some pretty neat stuff on there. Maybe I can find something kind of neat. And I'm just kind of accidentally, inadvertently going through the channels, and there's something that I shouldn't be watching. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that that's going to be there before you ever turn the TV on, because it's full of it. And you can take that concept to just everything we do. Don't let the evil overcome you. But arm yourself. Be prepared. Have that treasure of good in your heart before you ever head out to battle. And that, what is that source of good? Goes back to being converted, being transformed, taking on you the good, the name of Christ, the attitudes of Christ, the words of Christ. That's our good. James chapter 4, verse 8. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God. Get close to God. And He will draw nigh to you. If we think God doesn't care about us anymore, if we think God's not there, it's because we haven't really looked for Him. If we seek God, He'll seek us. Draw nigh to God. Get close to God. He'll get close to you. He's always there. He's always here. He's right here. He's right next to me. He's right next to you. He's just waiting. He wants us to have that perfect heart, but He's not going to force it on us. We want our children to grow up to be fine, upstanding citizens. But we can't make them do it. We can't open up their brains and pour all those good attitudes and thoughts in and shove them out the door. It doesn't work that way. And God can't do that. Well, I shouldn't say God can't do that. God chooses not to do that because that's not consistent with His plan. What's consistent with His plan is all this stuff that we've been talking about. Make the effort to be different. Make the effort to be changed and transformed. And He'll be behind you 100%. He's the one that will do the perfecting of your heart. But He's not going to force it on you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. How? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Quit doing that stuff. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-minded. Well, I could do this, or I could do this. I can be overcome with evil, or I can overcome evil with good. What am I going to do? Am I going to do this, am I going to do this? Well, I'll do a little of this and a little of this. That's double-minded. Trying to go down two tracks at the same time. It just doesn't work. Christ said you can't serve two masters. Because if you do, you're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. It doesn't work. You can't love good and love evil all at the same time. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Make the decision. Make the decision. Overcome evil with good. Go to the source of the good. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Suherencia number 3. And let's go to 1 John. Epistle. First Epistle of John. Chapter 5. He'll give us the ammunition. He'll give us the ability to change our hearts. He'll give us the ability to have that perfect heart and those proper attitudes. Okay, now we're all loaded. Now we're all ready to go. The tank's full of gas. You're ready to put the truck on the road. Now we got to do it. Now we got to do it. 1 John 5, first five verses. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. If we love God, we love Christ. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. This is the indicator. This is the little meter that swings one way or the other. This is the litmus test. Here's how we know that we love the children of God. Here's how we know if we love one another. And that is, when we love God, if we truly love God, we keep His commandments. If we truly love God, we're not grievous. Well, grievous meaning they don't bring us grief. No one ever sinned by following God's commandments. Nobody ever really brings himself true grief. I'm going to turn it around the other way. If we sin, we're going to bring upon ourselves grief. It's just as simple as that. When we turn from the things that God has told us to do. You know, there was a short list of them I read here just a few minutes ago about adultery and fornication and all this kind of stuff. When we involve ourselves in those sins, it's going to bring us nothing but grief, heartache, sorrow, despair, agony in our lives. You can just bank on it. It's going to happen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's that overcoming the world, overcoming the evil with the good. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If we believe it, if we believe that this is the word of God, and that these are the things we're supposed to do, and this is our roadmap for achieving that good and perfect will of God in our lives, That's our faith. That's what we've got faith in. If our faith is in the world, it's not going to happen. If Amaziah's heart had truly been perfect, it wouldn't have occurred to him to put his faith in those idols. Who is he that overcometh the world? How is it that we overcome these worldly things? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the key. That's the key. In believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's why the Jews of old and the Jews of today have no hope. Because they've only got part of the picture. They believe in God. They love God. But they don't have the rest of the picture. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, because it's only because of Jesus tearing down that wall of separation between us and God and becoming our direct connection to God through his Holy Spirit. It's only because he was willing to sacrifice his life as a way of opening the door for us to actually overcome the evil. Because of all of the whole connection with Adam and going all the way back and man's separation from God. It's Christ that opens the door. And there isn't any other that can do it. So, suhorencia number 3 was obey the commandments. Obey the commandments. And the last one, back in Matthew. Back in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, 12. And because iniquity shall abound, does iniquity abound? Are we surrounded by a world of evil? We sure are. We're kind of in our own little cocoon here today. But we can bring them with us. I can be counting the minutes. There are only 5 left now. I can be counting the minutes to when I can get out of here and go do what I want to do. In which case, I've brought that world with me. It's here now. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because we are surrounded by evil, there is that potential for being overcome by it. And when we're overcome by that evil, then our love, our true love, the genuine love of Christ goes away. It's not there. But, I always love it when it says but, because that means there's a remedy. The word but means here comes the remedy. But he that shall endure unto the end. He who will seek that perfect will of God. He who will allow his heart to be converted and changed. He who will obey the commandments. He who shall endure to the end of his mortal life, the same shall be saved. That's a promise. That's a promise. It's not a one-time deal. It's a continuing life style. It's a continuing cleansing and purifying of the heart, of continually examining our attitudes to see if they are producing the proper results, the desired results, the good and perfect will of God in our lives. The book of Omni, I believe we're going to find, says the same thing. On page 203 of the Book of Mormon, page 203, verse 46. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, be converted, be transformed, allow him to perfect your heart. Come unto Christ, who is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation. It's right there. It's waiting for you. Partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. The ability that Christ has to take those sins out of your life and those sinful attitudes out of your life and cast them away. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls. Just like we read right at the beginning. Offer your whole souls as an offering unto him. And continue in fasting and in prayer. These are our tools for accomplishing this. And endure to the end. Continue. Don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever give up. Because there's always hope. And as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved. It's a promise. I'd like to read a little out of Revelation, and I want you just to sit back and I couldn't figure out how to say this in Spanish. But just allow yourselves to develop a mental image of what I'm going to read. Imagine what this looks like. Imagine what it felt like. Imagine what was going on. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb
the Holy One of Israel, Jesus the Christ, our Savior, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is the promise. This is what God holds in store for us. This is what He holds in store for those that have that perfect heart. Lord, we Thy presence seek. May ours this blessing be. Give us a pure and lowly heart, a temple meet for Thee. God bless you each.
Thank you, Dan. Take your bulletin with you. There's a lot of activities this week, and then that reminder of the sweetheart dinner. Remember, Bonnie Case has the tickets. She's right down here. We're going to close this morning with hymn number 171, after which we'll be dismissed in prayer by our brother Glenn Gill. 171.
us bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your grace that You have made a way for us to overcome and to seek a perfect heart. May Thy blessing follow us as we leave from this place to our homes. May we take Thy joy with us, and may it fill our homes and our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.